1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
And we're talking about ideas for our show in the coming years, in the coming months, the coming days. Just whatever's coming. And people are calling in and giving us some concepts. And we thought we'd do this today because I destroyed my voice screaming at the racetrack on Saturday. You know, rooting home a winner. Literally, I got no throat, and that's rough. Yeah, I gotta be a little bit more responsible, okay? But I thought a couple of bottles of Jack could do me fine on Sunday. It didn't. So anyway, what we are doing is taking people's ideas for characters that we do on our show. And what do I do on this show? I play the part of myself in different characters, and then people call in believing that these are real human beings that they're talking to, and they debate them, and generally a good time is had by all. What do I mean by that? Let me illustrate it for you. This is a track from our Best of the Year 2000 CD called Number One Rated Phil Hendry Show. This is from the year 2000. And all of these CDs, by the way, are available on our website, philhendryshow.com, or you can call 877-616-7445 and pick up a copy. This is a bit called Kernel of Corn, and it features a character of mine named Jeff Dowder, and he was calling in a couple of years ago to talk about clean water in California and how it's treated, and why couldn't he take his own sewage to the treatment plant and have it turned into clean water for him. And somebody who worked in a treatment plant up north called in to debate Jeff, and here's how it went.
I work at a wastewater treatment plant.
Yeah?
And this guy's completely whack. If somebody shows up at our plant with a bag full of duty, we don't want to deal with him. But bottom line is our finished product is as clean as swimming pool water.
I've heard that. So you're recycling that human waste.
No, but Matt, my name's Jeff Dowder. If a guy shows up with a bag of the dew,
we don't want to deal with it. It comes in through the plant, through the wastewater system, the sewer system. We don't want some nutball showing up with a bag full of crap to saying, hey, I got a bag full of crap. What do you think we do with it? It goes through our whole process, goes through our filters, and it goes through our chlorine contact chambers, and then it gets stored and is land applied for irrigation.
Yeah,
we don't.
Matt, all I'm saying is that's a dude, he just is trying to help out the environment. If I show up with a bag of number two, can't you process it right there for me?
Yeah, what do you want us to do? Put a little beeper on it so you can see it going through? Our process takes 28 days. Are you going to sit there for 28 days and watch it?
Well, no, but you could call me when it was done.
Okay, how am I going to tell you that your kernel of corn is now done? How am I going to do that? How would that be done?
Well, I'm trying to help the environment in the state of California. And
don't understand the problem. You don't even understand the process involved. But you're trying to tell everybody what a great idea it is. It is a good idea.
It's a good idea. You
admit
that.
It's a great
idea. Okay.
But you're not a good representative for this issue.
But what I'm
you have absolutely no idea how this works. Have you ever gone through a wastewater treatment plant?
Well, yeah, I did one time. I went down to the one in Van Nuys, and I had some number two that I'd just done that morning.
And
I took it in there, and the dude was like you. He's going, what's up with this? You know, all I'm trying to do is help our state, man. I'm a Californian like you is, and I'm trying to make everything happen pretty cool. And you're telling me that you'd diss me if I showed up with my number two? You wouldn't even process it for me?
As a homeowner in my community, I would have no problem with doing it. However, I'd much rather have you just flush it down the toilet, mix it with 3.5 gallons of water, so when it comes to me, it's already broken down.
No, I thought you guys could just take it, turn it into like a car wax or something, and give it back.
You have no idea how this all works. Is that how they did it in Van Nuys? Did they say, here's some paste for your car?
Well, of the reading that I did.
Of the reading that you did. You could take your number two, as you put it, to a plant, and they'll turn it into car wax. Okay, so that's Kernel of Corn, that 1000 CD on the Phil Hendry Show. By the way, that processing on the microphone was real different, and that was in this studio, Craig. So what have you changed between then and now? Whatever it is, it's for the good.
Sam Lawson
is here. Sam's done it. 1-800-449-8686. What are you guys talking about? I asked them to tell me, what is 7 million pounds in U.S.? You guys have got 10 million pounds equaling $14 million. Oh, okay, that's right. I don't know even why I asked that, because there's a story about Bob Guccione who owes 10 million pounds on his magazine, and I didn't know what that was in U.S. So it's taken us now an hour to figure this out. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Michael on the Phil Henry Show. Michael?
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
Hey, my idea here is, seems there's kind of a discrepancy I've noticed in society where parents don't allow children to go up to a car and ask for candy or accept candy or ice cream or anything like that.
Yeah, from a nice person.
From a nice person, right.
Exactly, but, yeah.
But see, in my neighborhood, there's a nice person who drives around in a little truck playing music, peddling candy to kids and all that, and ice cream and all
that. What
the
hell's that? What's that about?
Why is there an exception there? It seems like a lot of people don't even think about that.
So did somebody, have the good humor man, you know, did they put his face up on the internet under, a sexual predator? Have they, I'm going with this, man. I like it.
Yeah.
The good humor
like
man. Yeah, there's some guys out there.
See, Bobby Dooley could you know, in her homeowners association,
yeah,
could have a meeting about whether or not they're going to allow a certain company to come through and deliver ice cream.
Well, she could just say, you know, I'm really suspicious of these people that have been in our neighborhood. I mean, they come down with the ice cream truck. And, well, Bobby, that's the good humor man. I understand that, but what's that all about? Why, well, you know.
And also, maybe she could say less attractive men, or maybe fat, bald men shouldn't be allowed to drive the truck because they're child molesters, whereas younger, more attractive people are less likely to be jacking with your kids.
I like it. I like it a lot. But then are you washing the dishes right? This guy's calling my show when he's doing his dinner dishes. I like that idea a lot. Did you write that one down there, Janice? All right, Michael, thank you.
Hey, no problem.
Bye. Or was he processing some number two? I don't know. 1-800-449-8686. Lillian, hi.
Hi, Phil, how you doing?
Good, Lillian.
I was just thinking, I've been noticing a really disturbing trend of the Dr. Laura kind, you know, these women who are getting really famous like Martha Stewart that are really into these traditional homemaker values.
Yeah.
And I was thinking if maybe you had someone who took that a few steps too far, who was into like maybe slaves, because they couldn't really be their kid's mom having to do, you know, all the things around the house. So she was owning slaves and, you know, whipping the kid, that kind of thing.
In order to spend more time with their children, they were indenturing servants.
Yeah, that exactly. And sort of take the Dr. Laura thing a step further and talk about really traditional values, like medieval values.
Yeah, we're just going back to the way it used to be when, you know, your maid came and then she took the back of the bus home.
Exactly.
The good old days when I like that. I dig that.
All right.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned Martha Stewart because she just got there was a write up in the paper today about Martha Stewart being a real B-I-T-C-H. And the thinking is Martha Stewart is some kind of a power-mad, crazy woman. I don't know. I've just been noticing a lot of these stories. And I honestly don't know the difference between her and Bob Vila. Is he a power-mad animal? Bob Vila. You know the guy that does This Old House? Is he a power-mad animal? He's a guy that does This Old House, and she shows people how to put paper flowers in a vase. And because she's got dough, she's supposedly some power-mad, impatient, vitriolic, angry, and demanding human being. I don't know anybody. Let me, if I may say this, guys, I've been around a few of these people. Not that I am one of them or that I work for any of them or that they're friends of mine, but I've been around. There's nobody that gets to the level of a Martha Stewart. There's nobody that gets to the level of a Martha Stewart that doesn't have somebody hating their guts. Now, I don't care who you're talking about. Including Jesus, he got nailed to a cross for it. You see what I'm saying? Best guy there ever was, Jesus. And this guy got nailed to a cross. There's nobody that gets to be powerful and successful that doesn't get someone hating their guts. And this stuff about Martha Stewart, I could care less. Can we start writing about something else? You people with the hard thing for Martha, you guys that are walking around with an axe to grind about Martha freaking Stewart, who I wouldn't know Martha Stewart if I tripped over out in a sidewalk. She looks a little bit like my wife, and that's doing my wife a disservice. But no offense, Martha. But she's a blonde, she's a moderately attractive middle-aged woman, and she brings meatloaf out of the stove and shows you how to take urine stains off the door with the, I don't know, how to get candle wax off of your, out of your panties or whatever it is that your kick is. And so she does this. Isn't this what she does? I don't know. Better living with Martha Stewart. I will tell you this much, I owe her a debt of gratitude. Because something she says, I know how to do now. It helped me do something. I forget what it was. I think I know what it is. How to make a grilled cheese sandwich with an iron. I'm telling you, it is phenomenal. You just take the two pieces of bread, put the cheese in, and then you press with the while you're ironing your shirts. Then you press the grilled cheese sandwich down. She also showed me how to make meatloaf using only the engine block of my car. So, good for you, Martha. Whatever the hell, I could care less. I don't begrudge you the bread you got. But it is true, and I would like to go on record as saying it is very true, and it's undeniably true. Woman gets money, and she gets success. Somebody's got it in for her for being a dirtbag. Somebody doesn't like her because maybe what happened to Martha is she probably had so many boyfriends that she dumped because, after all, she's powerful, and that's what happens, right? Then they all started writing about what a real walking turd she apparently is. She does what she does, and she does it well. She tells you how to make a grilled cheese sandwich with an iron. She tells you how to make meatloaf using the engine block of your car. She tells you how to get the wrinkles out of your shirt by hanging them in the shower while you're taking a bath. You know. 1-800-449-8686. All right, so we'll be back with more of your brilliant ideas. This is The Phil Henry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Here's another example of how the insanity of our show, that is the points of view that we put forth, are not as extreme as perhaps they were, say, 5 years ago or 10 years ago when I started doing this show. Because, as I said to you last hour, the culture and the reality of life is beginning to catch up to our show a little bit. Now, here's one that I don't even think we've thought of, although perhaps, you never know. There is a deaf lesbian couple in New York who have admitted deliberately creating what are believed to be the world's first designer handicap babies. The two women tracked down a deaf sperm donor to ensure that their daughter, who is now 5, would inherit the same inherited hearing disability that they both share. They were so pleased with the result that they have just had a second child using the same technique. By the way, the second child's name is Galvin. G-A-U-V-I-N, because it probably was Gavin, and they probably pronounced Galvin, and now they're just, because it's cool, they're just, hey, what are you talking about? No, that's cool, his name's Galvin. No, but they meant to say Gavin. No, it's not, it's Galvin. So, there is no Galvin. Don't you be putting down deaf people, because that's the way they say it, that's where it's at. Maybe Star Wars is now called Star-Wan. Don't you? What are you doing? Well, I'm laughing at the way that deaf person pronounced. No, you can't do that. The movie is called Star Wars. No, it isn't. It's Star Wars. No, it's bull crap. If a deaf person perceives the world and the movie Star Wars to be Star Wars, then that's the name of it. And now the Academy Award for Best Film, George Lucas for Star Wars. Okay, come on up and get it. Lucas is down there. What the hell? Was that my movie? So you think I'm kidding? This is true. There is a radical school of thought that believes that deafness is not a handicap. It is a cultural identity. So these two women who are deaf went out and found a sperm donor who would create, help them create two deaf children. And these deaf children, these women said, now share the same experiences with their parents, including learning sign language and going to special schools for the deaf. They also consulted a genetic counselor before getting pregnant who told them that this, that with Miss Duchesne's background, I guess she's the deaf one, that includes four generations of deafness, any child conceived with a deaf sperm donor would have a 50% chance of hearing, of having the same handicap. And presenting the award, Marley Maitland and Lou Ferrigno. I don't know what they're saying. Well, you filthy bastard, you know what they're saying. You're just being against, like, deaf people as a cultural identity. I can say this because there ain't no deaf guy listening to me right now who can, you know, hear it. So what's he going to say? Now, seriously, what's wrong with this is the tragedy of this is that this kid's going to grow up someday and become 21 and move out of the house and not be around his mother and mother. And he's going to probably say something along the lines of, what did they do? They made me deaf on purpose? He might not be too happy. I suppose if one of these mothers loses an arm in an automobile accident, hey, here's a great idea. Why don't you cut off the arms of the kids? That way you're all sharing the same prosthetic franchise. You can go to the same joint for your plastic arm. Hey, Rosie, just when you were trying to get more people to open up to the concept of gay adoption, along come these two. You must be thrilled. Not even straight people came up with this. I think I'll make my kid deaf. So that now, if somebody says to me, well, you know the name of that building over there? What's that? What are you talking about? That's what it's called. I thought it was the Empire State Building. No, it's because that's how they say it. And that is a cultural identity. That ain't no handicap. Wow. All right. 1-800-449-8. I think it's cool. I think it's fantastic. Go ahead. Mess your kids up. Cripple them. Just kind of get into the whole new age thinking thing, man. Get into that whole new concepts and living thing. And in the process, mess some kid's life up. We're talking about priests sexually molesting kids. Man, they ain't got nothing on these two. They went out and they made a kid deaf on purpose. They didn't make a kid deaf. They made a deaf kid. Because they'll share the same identity, and they'll be able to be just as messed up as they are because misery loves company. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Kind of sorry I got into it now. I told Janice I didn't want to read this because it was too depressing, but then I hit on that whole thing, and I thought that might be funny, but I could only play that for like 10 seconds. Now it's sad again. I should have just gotten out while the getting was good, shouldn't I? I should have bailed out of that bit right with the but no, I got to keep going. Now I'm sitting here hanging on a precipice with the concept that's just ripe in the air like a new sulfur-induced fart. All right, let's go over here to our good friend Jim. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Hi, man.
Good. I thought something idea about these new airport security screeners. They have a little click there. They pull all the nice-looking women into the room. They make the thing beep, and they have a nice little time in the back room there as they're searching something.
In other words, the women go through, they make it beep, and then they have to go search them.
You got it. You got
That's great. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Haven't there been some claims of inappropriate frisking, though?
Yeah, some of the flight attendants, I guess, they seem to pick out some good ones there. There's a little group of guys there, you know, the Orlando there area, and they pick them out, and they go
The guys that are working security at Orlando are picking the flight attendants out?
Oh, yeah.
To frisk?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Orlando is a messed up town, isn't it?
I mean,
I just said that because
nice
Jim here
is
Disney. From Tampa. Huh?
Yeah, into the Disney area there, you know? They got a lot of nice looking stuff coming through there.
They got a lot of nice looking stuff going through there. All right, man, that's not a bad idea. Into the Orlando Disney area. They got some stuff going through there. Huh? It's good looking stuff. 1-800-449. Well, if they got good-looking stuff going through the Orlando area, things have changed since I was there. But I'm joking around. I fell in love for the first time in Orlando. And unfortunately, we had to put that dog to sleep. But, you know, all right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
We're talking about ideas for the show in the upcoming weeks and months, things that we're allowing the audience to give us input on. And I got to tell you something, we have had great ideas. Not every one of them has been a home run, but there have been some pretty cool concepts. In fact, Janice, if you wouldn't mind, could you bring your list in here so that I can read off to the audience, that is, if your handwriting is legible, I can read off to the audience some of the things that people have been giving, some of the ideas people have been giving us, ideas for the show. Just these are just the ideas that we thought would work. Maybe what we ought to do is, before we do these on the air, say, coming up tomorrow, Billy from Tampa, your idea about the nude action figures. Lloyd drops pig bombs on the Middle East because people there keep kosher and because the Muslims don't eat pork. Steve burns one half of his schnitzel in a tanning salon because there was a picture of Kathy Ireland on the wall and the towel went up that was covering his schnitzel and his junk got all burned up. Father James McQuarters put him down there and he starts molesting Yasser Arafat, was that it? Okay. Bobby Dooley finds in the skid marks in her son's underwear the image of the Virgin Mary or Jesus and becomes religiously converted. That's brilliant. If we could pull that off, Bobby, just one day Bobby was washing her kid's underwear, oh my God, and sees Jesus' face right there in the bacon strips. Steve Bozell actually sues himself, and I thought that was also fantastic. He sues himself for, like, having three kids, but we somehow successfully have him sue himself. And just other ideas here. Dave Oliva decides to nominate John Walker Lynn for the Congressional Medal of Honor because he looks just like Serpico did in the movie Serpico, and maybe he was an undercover CIA man. And as you know, Serpico, when he worked for the LAPD, he was undercover. Fact of the matter is, Serpico worked for the NYPD, but that's because Dave's an idiot. In fact, which of our characters is not an idiot? And that's what makes this show so much fun. So those are some of the ideas that people had as we talked to people tonight. 1-800-449-8686. Wendy, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, I think Bobby Dooley should go get her legs waxed.
Okay.
Or maybe like a Brazilian wax.
Why?
Because I think that would be hilarious.
Well, what would be hilarious? In other words, why has she decided? What's her motivation? Why is she going to get her legs waxed?
Because Steve is going to cheat on her because she's got a hair problem.
All right, now, she's got a hair problem. All right, now that gets into an area where maybe there are other women with hair problems.
Huh?
All right, thanks, Wendy. 1-800-449-8686. Great idea. Here is Mark. Hi, Mark. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. The most favorite one you've ever done that I've listened to is the Britney Spears support line where she's pinching one out. I almost got an accident on the freeway system here.
Okay, cool. Oh, I remember that one, yeah.
That's my most favorite.
Yeah. Oops, I did it again.
Yeah.
Yep, that's nice, except we're not talking about shows we've done. We're talking about shows we can do, as in do-do. All right, well, here it is for those of you that never heard it. It's very sophomoric, very juvenile. In other words, it's in perfect keeping with our show. Oh, baby, do it again. I'm sorry. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Kevin on the Phil Hendry Show. Kevin?
Hey, Chris. How you doing, Phil?
How you doing, man?
Hey, so my idea is this. Ted Bell, 1 week out of the year, goes to a homeless shelter with his gourmet cooks. And cooks, but he doesn't bring any of his, you know, steaks from, you know, Ted Bell's. He goes to the dog pound and gets dogs and, you know, cooks the dogs.
But does it gourmet?
Yeah, but does it gourmet?
He's got the best chef. And, of course, he's not going to waste money on good meat because, you know, these are the poor. But he will do,
right.
They can do dog meat better than anybody. That's very funny. What if he was selling dog at his restaurant? He and his wife took a trip to Bali or to Singapore or to the Philippines, and he says, you know something, Phil, you're not going to believe me, but dog can be delicious.
You got to smoke it and you slow cook it.
You smoke it to preserve it. You slow cook it. And I can make it, because my restaurant is so great, I can make dog taste like prime rib. That's great. That's great. Not only that, but if you have it so that he's somehow kidnapping dogs from people's yards, all the better. All the better. Very good idea, man.
Hey, I got one more. I got one more, Phil.
Write Kevin's name down next to that so that we can make sure that he doesn't get credit. I mean that he does. Go ahead.
Okay. You're talking about the lottery.
By the way, Chris just spelled Schenectady, S-C-A-N-E-C-T-I-D-Y. You're getting better, Chris. All right. What, Kevin?
Okay, you're talking about the lottery.
Yeah.
About 2 years ago, my brother was living with me, and the lottery in Florida got up to about $80 million. So I said, let's go out and buy 25 tickets each. And, our mom passed away a couple years before that. And I said, we'll put a picture of mom, mm-hmm. and we'll put two nice white candles, and we'll put the lottery tickets in front of it.
Yeah.
And the next morning, we'll look through the tickets and,
see if you won.
So that morning, I got up early, went out to the store, and bought the numbers that came in the night before. You got it?
Oh, you did?
And I stuck it in the pile, right?
Yeah.
And I just wanted to see how our face would look when they see all six numbers.
And the dude, so what did he do?
He's screaming and yelling, we're buying mansions, we're buying Ferraris.
And he's like, he's dropping to his knees and worshiping the picture of your mom?
And we're screaming and yelling.
And you finally got to break the news
to him.
And you broke the news to him, and the finger marks on your neck have just now gone away. Jesus, what a sadistic.
Because I just wanted to see what
The look of a person.
That won the lottery.
And what about the look of the dump he took on the floor of your condominium? All right, Kevin, thanks. The look of a person who won the lottery. And then the look of a person who wanted to commit first-degree murder when he found out that it was just a joke. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Scott on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Phil.
Hi.
I've got a doable idea here for you.
Cool.
Steve Bozell decides he's going to sue Emeril and the Food Network.
Okay.
Emeril, of course, everything, he puts 40 cloves of garlic. It doesn't matter if he's making pumpkin pie or, pasta.
He shoves garlic into it.
Just a 40 cloves of garlic, bam. Well,
yeah.
Steve's watching the show, decides he's going to put 40 cloves of garlic in there, not realizing that, Emeril's just exaggerating. His wife eats the spaghetti, and he eats the spaghetti, and his wife is, or his breath is now so disgusting that his wife will not be intimate with him. He's so sexually frustrated now because his breath is so bad for 3 or 4 days. He walks outside. His neighbor, Roy Hutchins, sees he's sporting a wood.
What's he sporting a wood for? Oh, because he's sexually
frustrated. His wife won't give him any release.
Okay.
So now he's going to sue Roy Hutchins for laughing at him, and he's suing Emeril and Emeril Live on the Food Network for putting this on.
I like the whole thing that he stinks to high heaven. And like
you
maybe
get,
like maybe there's a kid.
With that.
Yeah, there's maybe a kid who says, "Man smell like poo." And so now he's bummed out about that. And he's sporting wood, and Hutchins comes out on his front lawn and says, "Geez, what's that stench?"
You got to have the Roy Hutchins thing in there.
Yeah, Roy's nut. All right, man, thanks.
All right.
Boy, Steve. Steve Bozell is like a character that I invented just to, as a reaction to every thin-skinned, sue-happy person I'd ever read about. Yeah, and Steve's cutting garlic farts, and it's just really nasty. It's blowing everybody away in his office, and he's saying it's all Emeril Lagasse's fault, and he wants to sue the Food Network, and he's happy they canceled his lousy show, even though he thought it was funny. Just because he's, because why? Why did he, the thing we got to answer, the question is, why would he eat this meal, 40 pounds of garlic? I don't know the answer to that. All right, 1-800-449-8686. See, we take your bits very seriously here on the Phil Hendry Show. By the way, Jodie Foster said the following, the Oscars are a joke. It's just like winning at bingo. Really made some people mad, supposedly. One Hollywood producer, who they won't name, got upset and some other people who they won't name got upset. Probably nobody got upset. But she did say winning the Oscar is no measure of performance. It's just bingo. One name is going to get pulled out and somebody goes bingo. You just wish it was your name. She had told Russell Crowe, don't worry about it. not winning an Oscar doesn't mean, Jack, you were a great actor, and you probably should have won the Oscar, but who cares? Now, did you see the South Park where Russell Crowe goes around the world kicking the crap out of everybody? That is brilliant. That's brilliant. That's all that guy does now. Just gets into fights everywhere. Hey, Russell, those days when it was a when the enfant terrible was a interesting aspect to the Hollywood personality cult, those days are over, okay? Getting into fights when you're an actor now, in the middle of a world at war. I mean, we're in the middle of a world war. This is World War III. We got Israel. We got Palestine. We got America in Afghanistan. We can't go through a metal detector at an airport without somebody putting a laser up our rear end. And you think you're colorful getting into fistfights everywhere. Just back it way off. Go to work. Just the same with Sean Penn, okay? You all upset, man, because you got to go down that red carpet and you don't have anything to do with the Academy Awards? How about just giving a big smile for your fans that are up there in the grandstand, then turn around and split? Okay? Things have changed, baby. Things have changed. I'll go see your movies now, but I don't want to read about you and your 40-odd feet of grunt. And what is that, like describing your last six girlfriends? What does that mean, 30-odd foot of grunt? 30-odd foot of grunt. It's like the first five women I ever had sex with. I don't know what that is. Hi, I'm Russell Crowe, and you ought to see my last three wives. 30-odd foot of grunt. I guess. So what does that mean? They were all 10 feet tall, and they... All right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
This is the Phil Henry Show.
And we're taking some ideas for our show, and we've been playing bits from our CDs. And we've been having just a generally good time, given the fact that my throat got completely destroyed on Saturday over there at the great horse plant that is Santa Anita. Yes, Santa Anita, right there in my hometown of Arcadia. It's taken I don't know how many thousands of dollars of my own hard-earned money down through the years, and on Saturday I got exactly $43 of it back on a number six horse, the name of which I don't know, the jockey of whom, the jockey that was riding, I couldn't care, and I don't even know what race it was. But it was a hell of a race. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Jerry. Hello, Jerry.
Hi, what's up?
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine. I have an idea for the show. I came up with this with my mother.
Okay.
Colleen Kristen Brewster, and instead of doing the whole weight loss package, take a little spin on it. What we do, we send all the Jewish people over to the prison camps in Germany, have them refurbish them and turn them into country clubs, and then after that, they send all the Palestinians over there and all the Afghans at Guantanamo Bay and have them just have a good time. And she would lead tours.
Who would lead? Colleen?
Yeah, she would lead tours over there where they would lead the Jewish people, and they could see the updated version of all the prison camps and how they're treating their prisoners a little bit better than they were.
Who?
The Jewish people.
The Jewish people are treating prisoners better.
Well, no. I'm sorry.
Who runs the camp?
Who runs the camp? We'll have to think of that one.
Yeah. Is your mom there?
What?
Is your mom there?
Yes.
Oh, let me talk to her for a minute.
Yeah, she had a better idea of it than me.
Okay.
Hold on just a minute.
Yes, thank you.
Mom. He wants to talk to you. Hello.
Hi there. Death camps. That's great. Can you clarify what you mean by this bit? In other words, we have Jewish folks going to visit Auschwitz.
Right, but in an effort to try to solve the Middle East crisis, what we would do is the Jewish people would be willing or the Jewish government would be willing to take monies and enhance or remodel all the former camps that were used during the Second World War and kind of update them into like country clubs for the Palestinian people. And then in an effort to kind of keep it funded, since the government is going to fund these, there would Christine Colin Brewster could do her bit of leading tours to the camps. And you could have, like, viewing spots around the camps for, and, you know, a special, what we call photo opportunity, I guess, spots or view spots like you'd see in California.
All right, now I want you to do me a favor, all right? Okay, what's your name?
Lori.
Lori, when you get off the phone with me, I want you to turn the radio off, all right?
Okay.
Okay. Oh, actually, you
the
promise
radio's
me?
Not on.
It's not on. Okay,
no, it's
keep
on
it
the
off.
Deck.
Keep it off, darling, all right? Okay?
Okay.
Keep it off for the next 5 minutes.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Make sure it's off, because I'm about to talk really bad about you. And I know she's there with her son. Or is it one of those situations where it just speaks for itself? I think it's one of those situations where it just speaks for itself. How about if we get back to an example of how I do my... Oh, that's an eight-minute bit. I can't use that. Oh, well. I was going to play one more bit from our 1997 CD, but these ideas that are coming out are just so funny. John, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, hi.
How you doing?
Dr. Jim Sadler is one of these bureaucratic idiots that uses zero-tolerance policies to justify their lunacy.
Right.
And he's Child Protective Services of, like, Kern County or whatever, and he's taking kids away from their parents at the drop of a hat, like... you know, mom gets tipsy at a party or dad buys a Playboy.
Right.
And every time somebody objects, he says, what part of zero tolerance do you not understand?
That's good. Although you need to get something that's topical right now.
Yeah, well, I thought of it last year. That's the thing.
It's a good idea, man.
And then if you wanted to go really over the top, he admits to you, he thinks he's off the air, he admits to you that really the good-looking kids he's selling to Danish pornographers.
And, okay,
they're
cool.
Just, they're just poor kids anyway, so they're better off in Europe anyway than this crap can country.
I like it. Thanks, man.
Okay,
bye-bye. Now, see, I thought of it last year. That's why it's not so current. But if you, it is current if you have a story that kind of lends itself to it. And I like the idea of selling our children off to Danish pornographers. There's something fun. There's a flair to that. I don't know what it is. All right. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. I'd like you to become a member of our website. We've had a lot of people calling today who have backstage passes, and that means they're living in cities where they can't get the show, but they can sure hear the show with a backstage pass. Go to our website, philhenryshow.com, philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. You hear our show on demand. You hear a 30-day archive of our last 30 shows. There is an audio archive that is jam-packed with classic bits from throughout the years, some of the bits you've heard today. And we've just added 75 new clips, brand spanking new. Our webcast archive is there. Special little features like Guess the Celebrity Ass and, of course, our Fiji Adventure scrapbook. It's all there. With a backstage pass, you get it all. $6.95 a month. Go to philhenryshow.com.